Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, in this life, you'll have many opportunities to be afraid. Pass them by. Amen. When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, when? In this life, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me and set me high on a rock. You know, God never promises us trouble won't come. He just promises us protection when it does, and victory. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. You know, like I said, during those 7 days, they were to rejoice continuously. You know, the Bible says to us, in everything give thanks. The Bible says when you fall into divers temptations, count it all joy. It's a type of this life. You're going to get a lot farther in life rejoicing and letting God do the work instead of you trying to do it. Amen. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversary, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, those are good words for this life. Amen? But there's two characteristics of the Feast of the Tabernacles. What started me on this, I was reading this week what a rabbi was saying about the Feast of the Tabernacles. And I had not realized, you know, they do some things and They learn some things from the Spirit of God that we don't always quite see in the Bible. And one of the things that they do at the Feast of the Tabernacle is it centers around, there's a ceremony every single day concerning water. And let me read it to you. It says, first a golden vessel of water was filled at the pool of Siloam and taken to the altar. Next, another golden vessel would be filled with wine, and they would both be poured together into the basin. The mixed water and the wine would flow down a conduit, which carried the water to the brook of Kidron, located across from the eastern wall. And the water, according to the Jewish folks, symbolized the latter rain, the fall rain. You see, this was a celebration, first of all, was a remembrance of what God had done for them when he delivered them out of Egypt, and they dwelt 40 years in the wilderness, and then they came into the promised land. That's the reason they were in the booths. But the reason for the joy was the blessings of God in the harvest. This was the celebrating the ingathering of the harvest. This was the last feast of the year. They'd had all the other feasts, And now this feast is the last feast. This is the last feast, folks, for us. And it characterized them coming to the promised land. It symbolizes us going to heaven. It symbolizes the church. And it symbolized the harvest. See, all of these, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, and this one, all centered around not just what Jesus did, but what he's doing, the harvest. And in Israel, they, of course, were an agrarian society, and they would plant their crops in March, and they would have good rains in March, and then it basically would not rain again until October. And they would get enough rain in October to bring the crops in. And that's called, the first rain is called the former rain. Now they might have some sprinklings in there, you understand, of course. But they had the former rain in the spring and the latter rain. Well, of course, Pentecost represents the former rain, the first rain. This church was started by an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Big time. And what's going to bring the harvest in is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the latter rain. So this water in this festival, I was not aware of really until I was reading after this rabbi, and he was talking about they had this, it was a celebration of the latter rain. And this ritual water pouring was done every day for 6 days. Now, of course, we understand the latter rain is the Holy Ghost. This ritual of water pouring mixed with the wine was done every day for 6 days, and then it was done at the end. It concluded the festival. The last thing that they did was the pouring of the water. And the last day was called the Great Day of Hosanna, and it means to save now. And so the feast also became known as Hosanna. And of course, that's why they yelled that when Jesus came in. They thought he was the physical deliverer. So, as I said, the Bible tells us that this feast will be celebrated even during the millennium. And in Zechariah 14:16, it says this, "It shall come to pass," now this is after all the tribulation, everything, during the millennium, "it shall," during the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, before there's a new heaven and a new earth, "it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations," now you understand there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be great wars, but not everybody's going to be killed. And not everybody's going to be saved. There are some people who are still on this earth during the millennium who aren't Christians. And it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem and shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them there shall be no rain." So it's a picture that God will not pour out the Holy Spirit on those who refuse to serve Him and seek Him. Amen? Now, as I said, Jesus was the Passover and the first fruits. The day of Pentecost was established, brought in the early crop, and the Feast of Tabernacles is the latter rain before the last harvest. Now, I was thinking about this during the week and kind of being prompted to talk about it, but then Friday night when I was at the prison, We just started New Testament survey, and the instructor on the DVD was talking about a man by the name of Dupree, was talking about that Jesus came in the fullness of time or at just the right moment. You know, they probably thought he ain't never coming. It'd been a long time since God told Adam that he was going to bring somebody. It'd been a long time. All the prophets had talked about it. It'd been thousands of years. But the Bible says in the fullness of time or at the exact right time. You remember the disciples said to Jesus, when will these things happen? He said, I don't know. Only God knows the time. So there's a time. And as he was talking about Jesus came at the fullness of time, the Lord was speaking to me about the Holy Spirit and the return of Christ at a certain time. Now, let me talk to you a minute about, and I want to draw the parallels between, you see, the church today is much like the church in the day of Jeremiah, and it's much like the church or Israel in the day of Jesus also. Now, first let's think about in the fullness of the time that Jesus came. Think about it now. Israel was a captive in their own land. They were in Israel, but they were captive. They weren't in charge. Rome was in charge, and King Herod, who was appointed by Rome, who was a vicious, wicked ruler. They were slaves to Rome and Caesar. The priests were Sadducees. When they talk about in the Bible the Sadducees, all the priests were Sadducees. The high priest and all the priesthood virtually were Sadducees, and which meant they didn't even believe the Bible anymore. And they had become wicked and perverse and only interested in the favor with the Roman rulers. You know, we have a lot of Sadducees today. And then we had the Pharisees who had become totally legalistic and devoid of spirituality. The fullness of time. Second, the Greek Empire, you know, was one of the empires. There was the Babylonian Empire and the Persians and the Medes. Overthrew them, and then the Greeks overthrew under Alexander the Great, overthrew the Persians and the Medes, and then Alexander died, and four generals split up the territory. But they had planted a common language in all the known world. Everybody spoke or understood or wrote Greek. When the Romans took over, they didn't try to make everybody speak. I don't know if they spoke Italian then or not, but everybody spoke Greek, including the Romans. But the Romans built roads. You remember, you've all heard the saying, all roads lead to Rome. So the Romans built roads for people to travel, and it took roads to put out the gospel, and the Romans brought peace. They brought peace with a sword. And so the world had a common language, and there was good transportation, and the world was at peace, and it was in the fullness of time. The Jews were in such bondage that some of them were ready to receive. Now, the leaders weren't. Most of the leaders were content to be Sadducees or Pharisees. But the people in great numbers were ready to receive the Messiah. Well, I believe that when the conditions are correct, we're going to have an outpouring of the latter rain. You know, the Bible says, it says in Zechariah 10:1, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. Well, you know, there's no reason to ask the Lord for rain in March, because the crops will die in October. If you're only going to get two rains and you get them both in March, you're not going to have a crop. There's a time for the latter rain. He said, ask of the Lord in the time. The time was after there'd been quite a drought.